is earlier better when it comes to diagnosing kids with autism? The answer, according to a growing number of researchers, is yes. Dr. John Montavani is so convinced that he helped start a program at Mercy Children's Hospital in St. Louis that diagnoses and treats autism in babies. And keep in mind, most kids with autism aren't diagnosed until age 4 or older. Dr. Montavani, you're diagnosing kids as young as 10 or 12 months?
Yeah, you can get pretty reliable diagnostics certainly by age 2, but most of us believe that the signs are evident by at least 12 months. And certainly parents who have an older child on the autism spectrum will tell us that they can recognize features sometimes even in infancy. So I think reliably we can say that 12 to 24-month window is an excellent time, and around 18 months to be doing some intensive screening and identifying kids for early programming. The average age in the United States for diagnosis is more than age 4. So there's a considerable lag in parent concerns and a lost opportunity whenever those diagnoses are not made at a very young age.
How would you know, though, at such a young age? What are the features that you'd be looking for?
So the key things really are a lack of connection of your baby or your infant to you. And those are manifest really in terms of visual activity, kids looking and smiling reactively, kids beginning to use nonverbal communication by reaching up when you've been down to pick them up, children who are pointing with their index finger to items of interest, babies at maybe 9 months of age, certainly by 10 months of age, when mother says, "Look at the birdie in the tree," the child will follow the mother's finger and look up at the bird. Children on the spectrum don't do those things. They don't have those social awareness and social reward bridges that enable them to connect to both the verbal and nonverbal aspects of communication.
And why is it so important to identify it at such a young age? What can you do about it if you do?
As a newborn, the brain is pretty much wide open. There's a neurobiological program, which is largely under genetic control, which is going to take off. And that program is going to be influenced directly by the experiences, the environment, and the interactions of that child. So the brain, if you will, is wired to be very receptive to those sorts of activities. And we take advantage of that flexibility, or what's called brain plasticity, in the first years of life to build on the connections. In autism, the neurobiological connections are not developed typically. And we have this opportunity, certainly in the first years of life, and really going forward, other opportunities to be able to mold those connections, building the bridges for learning, social interaction, communication, interests, play skills, all of the things that we expect children to do naturally. In one way or another, children on the spectrum have to be shown, taught, encouraged, and experienced from a different perspective.
And this is effective? You've found that this has been effective with kids?
Yeah, it's very effective. All of the research points to the value of early identification and early intervention, which is not to say that there's not effective interventions and therapies for older children, but why wouldn't we invest our resources early on when we've got this plasticity in front of us that we can build on, and we know that we can improve the outcomes so that the vast majority of children diagnosed under 2 or 3 years of age with intensive intervention can attend regular schools with support services, can mainstream and function and interact with other children. When we wait too long, we lose those opportunities.
Dr. Montavani, stand by. I want to bring in Kate Wright. Kate, you have 2 kids with autism. Your first son, William, was diagnosed at 20 months, although you suspected that he had autism even before that, right? How did you know? Why did you think that?
It's very difficult to get your child with autism to interact with you. And I think that one of the earliest indications to me was the idea that I really had to work to get him to pay attention to me. And it just, it wasn't normal. I mean, to sit on the floor and practically beg him to look at me, to clap with me, to sing a song with me, just to get a glimpse.
And so once you decided to seek treatment for this, what did that do? How did the program work? What was your son doing with Dr. Montavani?
Within 2 weeks of the program, he was responding to his name. Hmm. Within a month, he was actually sitting on the floor and engaging with us. It was a continuous process, but magic. That's all. That's the only explanation I can give you is it was absolutely life-changing.
Well, what was it, Dr. Mantovani? What did you do that caused these things to happen?
The key is to understand, I think, what is missing or different in an individual with autism. And what's missing is their social reward, social interest, desire to communicate. So what the therapist working in the classroom do is get down to the child's level, look at what the child is interacting with, what toy they're playing with or what they're trying to do. Let's say you have a child who's shaking an object back and forth in front of their eyes just to watch it move back and forth. They're not really interacting with that object. They're simply enjoying it as a piece of plastic or a piece of string or whatever it happens to be. The therapist sits down next to the child, picks up a similar object, and begins doing the same thing in front of her face, and then gradually moves to the child, her gaze, to engage the child in looking at her, and then changes the task in a way that now we want it to be about a social interaction and not about an object moving back and forth.
Dr. Mantovani, if this is so successful as you see it anyway, and as Kate sees it, why hasn't this been copied all over the country? There's only a handful of programs like this nationwide.
There are a number of reasons and there are a number of limitations. First of all, the amount of training that it takes to become a certified therapist is considerable, and it's expensive both in terms of effort as well as economically. There are limited numbers of trainers available, and so I think that it really is a capacity problem. We just don't have enough people yet who are aware of it, who are interested in it, and we don't have enough people to train everybody. So we have to get the message out, we have to get people trained, and we have to energize the families in this process. And I think in the interest of their children, I know we can do that.
Kate Wright, how's William doing now?
He responds to his name all of the time. You walk in the door, he greets anybody that comes in, he greets strangers at the grocery store. He's constantly showing and sharing what he's doing. Very easy to engage him. And don't get me wrong, we do still have issues that we are working on socially because, you know, autism is something that you have to continue to work on. You have to continue to enforce the eye contact. You have to continue to enforce all of the things that they've learned. But I think that the key is that they have the base that they need in order to succeed because they're not unlearning bad behaviors. All of the good behaviors and all of the proper interaction has been given to them, has been taught to them, and they enjoy it. So instead of loving to be in their own world, they love to be in ours. They've realized that it's just as enjoyable, if not more.
Kate Wright, whose son William has just finished the program at Mercy Children's Hospital in St. Louis. Her younger son is currently enrolled, and we've also been speaking with Dr. John Mantovani, who helped create the program. We've got a list of possible autism red flags at our website, hereandnow.org.